and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and the things that are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. And no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness, and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with the excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The Lord would help me for a few minutes. I want to preach to you on instruments of Pentecost. Say it with me, church. Instruments of Pentecost. When it comes to such things, I am not very well equipped to be able to describe to you the things that are needed for a master musician. I have no musical talent that I know of, but I do know this about musicians who take their music seriously, that they are willing to pay top dollar for an instrument that they are confident of. And each person that is a master musician demands a perfect instrument through which he can release his genius. So, when a violinist picks up a violin, he looks for the signature of the violin maker, Stradivarius or some violin maker of note. If a person is highly talented in his ability to play a piano, then he would look for something like Steinway or, as I have been told, Yamaha or some concert piano. The Divine Master, our great Lord and Savior, of all the things that he chooses to make an instrument, it is astounding that he doesn't ask for the perfect, but the imperfect. And that he takes the imperfect human instrument to sound forth his own praise. So, when he finds no perfect instrument at his ready, he goes seeking. He goes seeking someone to lay his hand upon. Amen. And with his hand, he reaches. And with that skill, he triumphs over our sinful imperfections and shows that he can transform the imperfect. The imperfect. And we know that when he transforms it, it supersedes, it transcends all of our mental anticipations, because we are very well acquainted with all of our imperfections. Amen. With our heredity, I went into the hospital room the other day and saw my uncle and his children, which I had not seen for a long time, his children especially. And when his boy, his younger boy, looked at me and he said, "You look a lot like your mother." I said, "It's hereditary." I have walked into other rooms and they said, "You look a lot like your dad." And I said, "It's hereditary." What I am is a complex gift of my parents. They have blessed me. In a lot of ways, I appreciate some of their blessings. I have shed many tears over some of their gifts. Heredity plays a great part in our makeup, for it goes back to Adam. Adam was the locomotive who tried the trestle that was out. And falling, he has pulled all of us into the same ditch. A lot of our problems is heredity that we have been blessed with. Somebody shout amen. And the reason we see, not like God sees, but we see our own imperfections, is that God looks at all of those beautiful instruments that have fallen in the ditch through time. And some of them have been fearfully damaged in the wreck. Some of them are deeply, deeply scarred by the heredity of their parents. It was General William Booth who had a burden for such a group of children, that when he was moved of God to start his Salvation Army movement, he did not go to the upper class. He did not go to the middle class. But General Booth went down into the slums of the lower class, down to where men and women were beast-like. And it was this statement that General William Booth made of a great number of children that he had worked with. He said, "Some of those children are damned into the world rather than born into it." It is from this group that the Lord looks for His instrument to play the song of Pentecost. It's from these pieces of humanity, these broken pieces of humanity, that God searches for instruments upon when He can play the great song of Pentecost. The chances are that they were left out of the race even before they enter the race of life. So were we. So were some of you, Paul said. Such were some of you. God begins where man leaves off, gloriously saving and sometimes mightily bringing back to life the devil's castaways. When the devil is through with them, when the devil has done his worst to them, when he scarred them and marred them and broken them and made them so mangled that even humanity doesn't want them, and the devil cast them away as useless, God will go into the scrap pile of the devil's castaways to find an instrument in which to play the beautiful music of Pentecost. Somebody say amen. A man was watching one of the eastern shepherds as he drove his flock down to the little branch to water them. And as he approached, he seen a stalk of one of the reeds that was bruised and hanging its head over. The shepherd walked up to it and just snapped it where it was bruised and threw it away, and began to pick out among the other reeds one perfect for his use. Taking his knife, he cut it and made a flute and sat down and began to make beautiful music from that reed that he had selected. But the man sitting beside watching said, "That would have never been sold of our Lord, our great shepherd, our bishop. For it is said of him, the bruised reed shall he not break." When the world discards you, when you no longer hold anything for the world, and the world becomes disgusted with you because you are bruised and you are battered and you are one of the parts of our species that has been damned into the world rather than born. When you feel like you are the reject of rejects, when you feel like there's no need for you to ever try again, when you feel like you've gone as far as you can go and it was not good enough, when you've reached as high as you can reach and you was not reaching high enough, remember, Christ delivers and restores until they become capable of heavenly music. You, my friend, were one times, and some of you were the very epitome of the scarlet sin. Some of your sins were so black, some so scarlet. And yet the promise of this Master is, though your sins be scarlet, I will make them whiter than snow. Where you were an instrument of unrighteousness unto sin, God wants to make you an instrument of righteousness unto God. I know you've tried before, and I know you've failed. I know it's not in your heart, because the devil has told you God really doesn't care. But before you completely give up on yourself, listen to me as I preach to you tonight about a God that does care. The personality that you was in the hand of the devil was a weapon. He meant to take you and hurt others. Some of you sitting here tonight have broken the heart of your mother over and over again. Your father has been embarrassed by the way you've conducted yourself. You have been an instrument in the hand of Satan. You have embarrassed and hurt your family. But I want to tell you, before you give up on yourself, there is a God who is a source that you can depend upon, that can help you again, and He wants to help you. You may feel like a bruised reed, but He won't break you. He will make you. Somebody say amen. God can make you become peace with yourself and peace with your fellow man. God can bring you to the place where you can live at peace. We oftentimes forget that our stringed instruments were first invented from the weapon of war called a bow. The tauntness of the bow twanged when it shot its arrow at an enemy. And those careful ears listened and said, "That can be tuned. It can become musical." So God has taken several weapons that the enemy has had, and God has taken those weapons and turned them into praise. He has turned them into trophies. He has turned them into an instrument of praise and music. Oh, don't look at me like I am preaching to the wrong church. I, of all men, am acquainted with your problems. Don't tell me that God hasn't got some of us out of there. I know, and you know, where He found us. I know and you know some of the sins that we don't want to talk about and don't want anyone else to mention. But they were there. And God did not give up on us. This church has a history of taking wrecks and giving them the second chance. But we're really understanding, because we understand that before we got here, there was men like Jerry McCauley, and I read his story, and oh, what a pitiful thing it was. What a pitiful life it was, until Jesus found him in the gutter, cast away by Satan himself. And then we've been lifted from the miry clay. We have been lifted from the miry clay to the rock and been elevated to the rock of salvation. Not just a rock, but the rock of salvation. We've been elevated from the miry clay of our sins to the rock of salvation. And we stand sure on this rock. We're so sure of it as we stand there that we sing the new song that was put into our mouths until we have almost charmed the world with our Pentecostal singing. Because we sang as those delivered from the pit. We sang as those who were the devil's castaway and now become God's trophies. We sang as those who know the burden of sin and realize when it was rolled away. We know what it is to be in prison and then be set free. We understand what it is to be bound by habits and then have God to break them. We of all people are God's instruments of Pentecost. Oh, I wish you would help me preach. Sometimes the environment that we are, God has to work so hard on. We get tied up in personality. And when we were out there in the world, we had to be so gruff and so mean and so tough that we took that kind of a personality. Touch me, I'll hurt you. Bother me and I will hurt you. And we become so rough. We talk rough. I don't know how many of these fellas that I've tried to tell them, you don't need to be that way anymore. You're not on the street. You have been saved. Somebody say amen. Yes. We had that exterior that was too rough to rub against anyone who was hurt. We only hurt them more. We didn't understand them. Bleeding hearts was not one of the kinds that we liked. We were too rough for the bleeding hearts. We were too rough to get sentimental. We were too rough to cry. We were too rough to beg God. We had always stood on our own feet, and we were not easily wooed by the love of God. And we have forgotten that God has placed us in this world to heal sorrowing people just like we were. Yes, we were rough. We were rude. But God could hear some tender note in that personality. And God could hear that wooing note in that personality. The story is told of a little boy who got lost from his mother. She was lost from him and he was lost from her. And he was crying, and a policeman came and found him and took him to the station. And he began to converse with them, tell him his name and things. And one of the sergeants said, "Son, I'll be off of my duty in just a few hours. Get up there in that bed and go to sleep, and in a few hours I'll take you home." The little boy went over and looked at the cot on which he was to lay and came back and looked at the sergeant, and the sergeant said, "What?" And he went back because he was rough. So the little boy went back, but he couldn't lay down, and he came back again, and the sergeant said, "What, son?" He said, "Can I pray before I go to sleep?" And the sergeant said, "Yeah." So the little boy went over to the cot and he got down on his knees. He said, "Now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." And took a little run and jumped right in the middle of the cot, and in a few minutes was fast asleep. sergeant's head dropped. Hats began to be removed off of those rough men, because all of a sudden, in the midst of all the roughness, they realized that that doesn't need roughness. Sometimes we forget. And God takes something tender like a prayer to remind us how rough we are. God can take the rudest of men and elevate them. He can tune him and retune him until he's ready for the choir of heaven. You forget the apostle of love. His name was John. That was how he ended his tour of duty in this world. He was called the great apostle of love because in his epistles he talked so much of it. But that wasn't how Jesus found him. His name among his brethren was one of the sons of thunder. John thundered. He thundered loud. He thundered rough. He thundered rude. He would talk about calling far down and destroying little towns. Yes, he was a son of thunder. And the thunder implies a lot of vengeance and wrath in it and judgment. But it wasn't long in the hand of our master until John began to change his tune. The thunder still pealed, but it wasn't scary. The thunder still rolled, and the dominating note of all that John said in his thundering was, it's all love divine, and all love excels. And the greatest that a man can do is love and forgive his enemies. Come on, church. You know and I know that God can change rough men and rude women into saints if they'll let Him. You don't have to be a nag all your life. You don't have to nag your family into submission. You are to try some love. Dad, you don't have to bully and bang and push and bash. Let God take some of that roughness. And let God tender your heart until you begin to sing with the baptism of Pentecost. I still believe holiness people are sweet people. Somebody shout amen. Oh, come on, church. Say amen. Amen. There's a man who came to his pastor and his wife wasn't saved and he was saved. And she liked to wear her hats and her jewelry and her makeup. And she had come to church with him. And he was so embarrassed that when he would come in, she would sit there all decked out. And he didn't believe that his wife ought to do that. And he went to his pastor with a complaint and said, Pastor, what am I going to do? What am I going to do with her? His pastor said, remember, you were once in Egypt yourself, and now you live in Canaan. She's still in Egypt. And what you've got to remember is, you'll never get out of Egypt until you show her that Canaan is a land of milk and honey. You be sweet, he said. You be sweet. And it wasn't until a couple of weeks and the preacher was preaching, that woman stood up with tears in her eyes and flung her hat and it went underneath the altar and she followed it. She prayed until her face was clean. She prayed until all of her jewelry was off. She prayed until she got plumb prayed through. And when she stood up, she was a new creature. She had the Spirit of Christ. And all of a sudden, all of his problems was retuned into a song. Once you may have a gripe, but if you can put your life in the hand of God, God can retune it till you can sing as an instrument of Pentecost. Oh, it should help me preach. Sometimes it's educational, and we draw back because we are so limited. We feel the hampering inconsistency of our abilities. We want to do better, but we don't know how to do better. We think that God demands us. God demands us. Live it! And He stands back to see if we can. We sometimes feel like we're such a failure because we can't read like other people or talk like other people or sing like other people. But we have forgotten, my friend, we have forgotten that God takes one talented people and can bless them until they are quite different. The great violinist Paganini went purposely on stage and he took his violin, and he was a concert violinist. And they came to hear him from near and far, and he started tuning his violin and purposely tuned it so tight that one string broke. He kept tuning and another string broke, and tuned some more until the other string broke, until there was just one string left. He looked out at his audience as they went, "Oh." And he said, "Paganini, want you to know the music is not in the instrument, it is in the man." And with one string, he played until they all forgot about the broken string. If God can get the man, He'll bring the music out of his heart. Some of you are so sad because God don't have you. You don't sing because God don't have you. You're here and you're part of this church, but God don't have you in His hand. Some of my young married people try to pull stuff and they think, "Oh, Brother Benny will never find it. Never know it." But I can tell you, you're down to one talent. And if you don't quickly put that to the ushery, and get some more talents, you're going to find God going to take that one talent away from you. And then you're going to be a no-talented man. And that means of no use to God. You need to listen to me as I try to preach to you that it's not what you know that's going to help you. It's who you know that can help you. I put no premium on ignorance. I feel ashamed in my inadequacies. I do not boast in them. I pray about them, and I want to do better. But I know that my inadequacies can be made up by the power of the Holy Ghost. And as I preach to you tonight, I'm not preaching to you something that I do not know. I know that all of our lives would be better lives and better lived lives if we could get back into the hands of the Master and realize that He is the one that is tuning. And all we are is the instrument on which He is trying to play music. If you do not have the Holy Ghost, then how can God bring the music out of your life? You see, I was amazed at one time to see a man bring a washboard to church. Now, I know some of you folks from down in the hills have no problem with washboards. I didn't think there was any music in a washboard. He set out to prove me wrong. It's surprising what the Holy Ghost can use when He wants to use it. Spoons. Washboards. Saws. One young man decided that he would show people what all you could make music out of, and he took such things as a sharp knife, a saw, a toy balloon, a dollar bill, and a shotgun barrel, and proceeded to make music. All of those in my hands would be nothing but racket. But in the hands of someone who knew how to get the music out, you may find a lyric. You're not helping me preach. I wonder, as I preach to you tonight, God works through the ordinary personalities of men, and we're all so ordinary. None of us come from the upper crust. We all are so ordinary. It amazes me how God takes ordinary people and makes them supernatural. How He gives us this, I do not understand and I do not know. But I know that God uses instruments just like us and wants to use instruments just like us. People who are negative about themselves, self-abasing people. But all of those people with all of their insecurities, once in the hand of the Holy Ghost, become people so highly honored. They become people with a heavenly touch. They become people at the disposal of God. Messages are given and information given, and love is transfused and hope is brought out. All through these little people, ordinary, common people, who have learned to be dependent upon the Holy Ghost. Messages, healings, the frequency that God plays in us. You have to have heavenly ears to hear the music. But it ascends from our little church like a sweet smelling savor. It ascends to God, for our music is not made for the world and the carnal. They do not understand it. But this music wafts heavenly, and God's ears pick it up. If you can call it music the night that Paul and Silas prayed in those stocks, then you're better than most men, for none of the prisoners were clapping their hands, and none of them were rooting for them to carry on. But it was from that music that got God's attention, and that music changed the heart of a Philippian jailer. Listen, my friend, just because you are not a star in God's hand, those are rare. Most of the people in God's hands are just candles. The difference between a star and a candle is the star feels so independent, and the candle knows that it has to be lit in order to shine. You don't need to be a star. Come on down to where God can light your fire, where God can make you shine. We used to be called the people of the shining face because God had so touched us. They used to look at our women and say, I know you're a Christian. It shows in your face. We had enough peace and enough joy that it lit inwardly our beauty. Our singing was never nothing but crude. But oh, how they would drive miles to hear the holiness people sing. Because when they sung, it wasn't on key, but it was anointed. Well, they didn't sing for the world, and they didn't sing to record it, and they didn't sing to make a bundle off of it. All they'd done was sing for the glory of God. But oh, how God came down and enjoyed the music. You know what made the music? Was the fact that those people, those common people, were held in the hand of a mighty God, who infused in them the Holy Ghost and poured the Spirit through them until they sung with such power and they sung with such dynamics till the world paid attention to them, not because of who they were, but who they knew. Here is God's choice in excluding people, not many wise. No, not many mighty, not many noble. He did not say not any. He said not many. For all of these people, the wise, the mighty, and the noble are self-sufficient and do not see their need. But these are the inclusions that God makes. The weak things, the foolish things, the base things, the despised things, and things that are not. He has that niche in His kingdom for nobodies.
Right.
Thank God. He still saves nobodies. Hallelujah. 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 These nobodies have to depend upon power outside of themselves. These nobodies can't be touched by anyone else to bring music out of them except God. Somebody said this, and I wish I'd have thought of it, but I didn't. So much of our boasted bigness, they said, is only littleness writ large. Yeah, that's right. Most of our bigness is just wrote in boxcar letters so folks will think somebody big wrote it. My friend, I ask you tonight to look. You're not insufficient for God's purposes until you become independent of His purposes. When you become independent of God's purposes, you become insufficient for God's purposes. But as long as you become dependent upon God, you'll always be sufficient for anything God wishes you to do. Somebody say amen. Amen. Don't tell me you can't. Don't tell me you can't. I don't want to hear that. Neither does God. The only thing that He asks you is don't glory. Don't glory. Don't glory. That no flesh may glory in His presence. Don't glory in self-achievement. Don't glory in that you are who you are, but rather glory in God that looked down at a devil's castaway and decided to take that broken life and put it back together. Thank God for the moment that He ever thought of you. Thank God for the moment that in loving kindness He picked you up. Thank God for the moment that you felt His Spirit and responded. Thank God for the moment that you decided to serve Him and threw all of yourself on an altar, and God took your wrecked life and your vile attitude and your stubborn will, and He broke you, and as Jeremiah said, He made you another vessel. That no flesh may glory in His presence, but that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound or surge back to the glory of God. Just like the tide rushing in will inevitably come back to the sea from which it had surged. We should praise God and let it go as far as it can, that it may always come back to God that gave us the chance to sing in His choir. Amen. I wonder tonight if you are at all interested in being an instrument for God. Some of you have lost that desire. I want to speak to you as a pastor. Now you hear me. Those things that you're sneaking around and doing, you're not getting by with them. It's costing you. The instrument that you could be, He turns and puts it on a shelf, and you'll always be less than you could be The Apostle Paul in his life said, that I may apprehend that goal of his, that he may apprehend that for which he was apprehended. In other words, when God stopped him on the road to Damascus, God had a plan for his life. And Paul said, I set out then to apprehend that will of God for that choice that he saved me. God doesn't save on accident. None of us are an accident. Every one of us was saved, that God had a purpose in saving us. Every one of you could be so much more for God if you only had the heart to place yourself in His hands. In closing, I wrote this down so I wouldn't forget it. I don't know anything about this fellow except I understand how he felt. Hayden's matchless composition of creation was rendered in the music hall at Vienna in the year 1808. It was offered up by the celebrated vocal and instrumental artist of that day. The composer was present. He had been brought to the hall in a wheelchair, and as the performance proceeded, the enthusiasm of the audience was caught up in it and gradually increased until when the full burst of the music began and the last passage, and there was light. People arose all over that place and began to applaud and applaud and applaud as a tribute to the composer of that music. Finally, he motioned as he struggled to his feet for silence. He begged them for silence. And then, as he stood motionless in the silence that he had finally achieved, he lifted up his hands high towards the heavens, and these are his words: "No, no, not for me. From thence comes all," and fell back into his wheelchair. I would to God that it was in our heart that we would say, "No, no, not for me, but from hence it comes." What worship services would erupt at Dryden Road? What great grace would come? For all good and perfect gifts still come down from the Father of lights. Not unto us. Not unto us, but unto His name give glory. It's time, my friend, that we cease trying to please one another. That we cease trying to impress one another. It's time that we become instruments again in the hands of the Master. There's nobody going to get music out of your life like the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's nobody going to fine-tune you for heaven like the visitation of the Holy Ghost. Nobody can get praise from you like the outflowing of the Holy Ghost. Nobody can bring us into unity and make us believe the same thing and speak the same thing and walk right before God but the power of the Holy Ghost. Nobody can do it. No preacher can do it. It will take the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It'll take the divine hand of God to fine-tune your life in order for Him to get glory from it. If we can come back to those moments, He will be pleased and we will be blessed again. Some folks said, "We seem like the services are just, yeah." If I was as musical as some of these guys, you could bring a guitar out here and it wouldn't take long. Probably Brother Huskins could do it. He could bring it out here and twist a few times and then strum it, and all of us would go. And then give him some time and let his ear listen to it. I've seen them lay their ear over on a guitar and pick it and tune it and pick it as they pick up the vibrations of those sounds and notes that fly through the wood, the vibrating of those strings. And it wouldn't be long until an ear could hear what the fingers were doing. And when it got to the certain place, they don't tighten it no more. They quit. That's right, that's right, that's right. And then they strum it, and from it comes harmony. Yeah. I'll tell you, my friend, there'll never be anybody else. Five hands cannot tune one guitar. Five hands cannot tune one piano. Five hands cannot play one saxophone. You put it in the hands of the person that's doing it. And there you trust. And there from the hands of the man who has the music in his heart does the instrument give forth its melody. I want to ask you, you're so far out of tune. Whose fault is it? They tell me, as I've listened to Jack Hamilton as he comes and tunes our pianos, when Jack gets it all done, it don't sound like much when I'm sitting in there and he's pecking and going and tuning and twisting and everything. But when he gets done, I know he's done because he puts that little run on there. I step out of office. I said, all right, now, Jack, give me some of that soul music. Man, you've never heard something like it unless you've been here when Mr. Hamilton puts on a performance. It's in the piano all the time, but it took two hands and a heart to get it out. Soul music is not head music. Oh, you're not helping me preach at all. You know and I know. There's only one hand that can fine-tune us. Only one hand that can bring the best out of your part. Only one hand that can touch that singing and make it work. It's not yours. It's not yours. You've tried. You failed. Look at you. Look at you. You know you're not in tune with God. Look at you. If He would strum your string now, you would be out of tune, and you know it. You know it. You're hoping that you never get in the position where He does. That's why you don't sing. That's why you don't testify. That's why you don't pray for other people. It's because you don't want people to recognize the discord instead of the harmony. Don't draw back. Come on up this way. Change in temperature can take that piano right there and take it out of tune. Let a room go cold and then get warm. That thing will be out of tune. This electrical thing here, if you let it get damp, it will soon be out of whack. Take a guitar, leave it in the weather. Soon it gets warped in its neck. It's useless. So I wonder what this hot one day and cold the next day is doing to you. I wonder why you're dancing and speaking in tongues one day and then the next day at home, you're a living devil and you know it. How in the world can we ever get in tune with such fluctuating temperatures? For He said, I would rather that you be hot or cold. At least if you're hot or cold, I can tune you to the climate. But when you keep going like this, I can keep you in tune at all. Praise God. Help me, Holy Ghost. Help me, Holy Ghost. The music of Pentecost never quite been the same. Oh, little churches that we were raised in, raised around, those little churches, they didn't have much to offer. Pine benches with splinters. That's why you didn't squirm too much. You could get rudely awakened. I didn't have a whole lot. But when the Holy Ghost fell, what singing, what singing, what preaching, what amazing transformation when the Holy Ghost fell. I've seen the Holy Ghost teach a person to play the piano in one lesson. One lesson. Just fell on them. While they were in the Spirit, they walked over and sat down, began to play. Talk to anybody with a lot of wisdom and they say, it can't happen. Talk to somebody who believes in the power of the Holy Ghost and you say, yeah, that can happen. He can tune it. Can he tune it? Who will raise one hand and say, Pastor? Pastor, I'd love for him to retune my life. Is anyone in this building tonight? Oh, God. I've heard lately my precious companion say to me, and I know it was nothing but distress, stress, more stress. Just things that she would have never said 20 or 30 years ago. Not mean, not harsh, but just under such stress. But a fine-tuned instrument is stressed. And it's stressed so that it will give a certain sound. You watch her. I have observed her for 40 years. I've seen her take those stressful moments and crawl to an altar. Ask her son. Ask her daughter. I've seen her crawl to that altar and let God fine-tune it. Amen. Until she came out in tune with God. I ask you, how long will it be till you let God make you an instrument of Pentecost? How long can you continue to be out of tune? How can you put that kind of stress on a few people who are trying to fine-tune their lives and everything around them is out of harmony and they're sounding like a note in the middle of discord? Dryden, listen to me. Listen to me as I talk to you. Listen to me. You know it's going to take dedication. Until you're willing to give a dedicated life into the hands of God, He can never fine-tune your life. Amen. I preached too long. I'm not making any apologies for my preaching. Let's stand. I want you to stand with me and bow your head as I pray, because I'm expecting the Holy Ghost. I'm expecting the Holy Ghost to speak to that person who has prayed that prayer. you listen. If he does, he will, and if he doesn't, that's his business, not mine. Let's pray together. Father, I do not preach for man's approval or his praise or his applause. I preach because one day I laid along life's road, beaten and battered. And I was so ashamed of what I had done and who I was. It surprised me that you stopped and that you picked me up in your hands and that you began to rebuild and to remold. I would have never thought it was possible that you could have put that kind of peace in my heart. I never thought it was possible that you could give me such love that would dispel such a hateful heart that I had. But I found out, Lord, that you are a God of miracles, because you can take plain clay and make it into a vessel of honor. And you can take a broken instrument and repair it until it sings again. Tonight, Father, there's a heart. I may not have preached to everybody. I may have missed 99. But then there's times, Lord, when you go after the one, just the one. And tonight, Father, I feel like you're going after the one. I pray that you'll minister to that one tonight. I trust you, Lord, that what I felt was right. I spoke in faith of what I felt. I leave it in your hands, and we will not say anything either way that you do, except again to thank you and praise you for being who you are and doing what you do. Do it, Father, for the glory and the honor of your great name. Lord Jesus, with your healing touch, touch that person. And may the Holy Ghost speak to whom he will. And we will be quiet and be thankful people as you fine-tune our lives again to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Someone obey God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Confirm your word, Lord. Confirm your word. As you have promised, stand by us and confirm your word.
Fear not, my child. Fear not the wind, the waves, the water, the storm, the darkness of the night. Have not I obligated myself to make you an instrument of righteousness, of power, of strength? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Strive. Work, labor, rejoice, worship. As the Lord strives mightily in you for the glory of the Son of God.
Raise your hands and give God glory. Altar is open if you wish to pray.